Good morning, church. Again, my name is Kyle. If we have not gotten a chance to meet, I serve as one of the pastors here at CTK Church. This morning, the moment that matters. Every week, looking at one person of the Bible to see what their moment was that changed the course of not only their life, but our story as people of God. Last week, Pastor Russell journeyed us through the courage of Esther, and this morning I want to focus on one woman of Scripture and another woman's story a little bit closer to our current timeline, demonstrating the same attributes of faith, of godly wisdom, and of correct loyalty. Now, before jumping into that, a little confession is that as a kid, my family and I have this running joke. I was really good at hiding the wrong things. My sister, older sister, was the one that had to try and bail me out of time out. She was the one crying when I was getting in trouble, when I should have been the one crying. And one of the things I continued to do that I think my parents found when I went away to college, was stuff candy wrappers in the corner of my room between the furniture and the wall where it was hidden, never to be seen again. Taking as much candy as I could away from the pantry into my room to snack when I wasn't supposed to as a kid. Only for years later when I go away to college, my parents are remaking my room into the next room that they do to find the Hershey's and the Crunch Bar wrappers and the Hershey's Kiss wrappers. And all of those things, in between specifically my bed and the wall, right where I knew it couldn't be seen. I just figured, okay, I'm good at hiding what I know is wrong. But the woman in the scripture today uses faith, loyalty, and wisdom to hide what is good and what is God's. Do we know how to hide what is good and what is God in our hearts, in our homes, and in our everyday lives? Walk. Because we can get really good at hiding what we know is wrong, which carries a lot of shame, which doesn't allow us the freedom to walk in true identity or truly being known and loved, but we can be. So the woman of Scripture is Rahab, which you may recognize from the book of Joshua, which Joshua was one of those that in Right Now Media we just talked about that I dove into a study of Joshua, and it just blessed me and encouraged you to dive into those that we just shared as well. But this story happens centuries ago, over 3,000 years ago. How many people do you know from 3,000 years ago you studied in your history class? Not a whole lot. But Rahab, the most unlikely character, was elevated, her name preserved, and her story held tightly. You guys thought Moana was something strong, and Mulan, Rahab's something different. So with Rahab, we see this story of courageous trust, which I want you to hold on to that. If you're wondering what faith looks like courageous trust. Courageous trust. And then I'm going to go in and out of this other story. You may have read this book in your English course or heard the story or watched the movie called The Hiding Place. Anybody been there? Read that? Heard that story? A story of the Ten Boom family. A World War II story of faith, of courage, wisdom, loyalty. A faith a lot like Rahab's, a courage like Rahab's, loyalty like Rahab's to the right people. But a story a little bit closer to what we may know today. A story where they had to decide right from wrong. They had to jump into hard decisions very quickly. You may have been there in your faith journey where you are crying to God for wisdom on a decision where you just want Him to give you the green light or the red light, and it's just all fuzzy. Welcome to the faith journey. You may have been looking to God when there was a crisis situation and trying to discern what to do next. Where does your faith have a role in this moment, in this confusing place? Wondering what is next. Rahab has something to say about that. You may have been tempted with your loyalties to devote to the wrong place or the wrong person or the wrong thing. or pulled in one direction more than in God's direction. And you're wanting to reset your loyalties on the right direction. Rahab has something to say to us about that. So I want to encourage us to see Rahab's story as one of faith and how God loves to use the most unlikely person in the room for his incredible purposes. And how we can tend to disqualify ourselves from being instruments of God, used by God, or a light for God. Rahab has something to say about that place of our heart. So I want to encourage you, as the people of faith, you took initiative to get up this morning to worship and to hear the word of God. You took initiative to dive into community. You took initiative to try and find a new church home. God will do something amazing with that. So I encourage you to follow along the scriptures with me. We will be in Joshua chapter 2. You can follow along in your Bibles, or encourage you to get the YouVersion Bible app, where you can also follow our church and see the notes from our sermons and what the sermons are on. Or you can download our app, CTK Charlotte. Get the app and see the sermon, the Bible, the notes, all there in your hands. But it's always good to study it on your own. So we open up Joshua chapter 2. What is this story about Rahab? Tells us, Joshua the son of Nun sent two men secretly from Shittim as spies, saying, "Go view the land, especially Jericho." You might have heard about Jericho before, right? What story is known with Jericho? The walls come crashing down after the victory march and a middle school boy's trumpet blast. All right? So, and they went and came into the house of a prostitute whose name was Rahab, and they lodged there. And it was told to the king of Jericho, "Behold, men of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land." Then the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, "Bring out the men who have come to you, who entered your house, for they have come to search out all the land." But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them, and she said, "True, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from." And when the gate was about to be closed at dark, the men went out. "I do not know where the men went. Pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them." But she had brought them up to the roof and hid them with the stalks of flax that she laid in order on the roof. So the men pursued after them on the way to the Jordan, as far as the fords, and the gate was shut as soon as the pursuers had gone out. So at this point, the people of God had fled Egypt, wandered in the wilderness for over 40 years, trying to figure out their walk, their home, their relationship with God and each other. They're going to enter into the land God promised to give them, but there's this one city with some pretty strong walls, with a pretty strong king. But God loves to use the most unlikely person in the story, doesn't he, to do something powerful. So these two spies go out to see what their plan of attack is going to have to be. They are the recon soldiers, right? Going in, trying to be as undetected as possible. And as they do, they go, and they are protected by the most unlikely person in the city, a prostitute named Rahab. And they are hidden, and she commits her loyalty to God's plan and God's people, where she was a citizen of where? Jericho. She belonged to the city of Jericho, and her ruler was the king of Jericho, who sent his men to knock on her door. Now, if the king doesn't like what you're doing 3,000 years ago, what do you think normally happened? They took you out. "You're the problem. Eliminate the problem. My will be done," said these evil kings. So the king sends his men. They try and find these spies from Israel, and they can't find them. They're led out to look for them in the mountains and in the desert while they were really upstairs the whole time. Rahab decided in that moment who and what deserved her loyalty. In a moment of crisis, in a moment of life or death, where if they searched the house and they found, she could have been sentenced or worse, killed. But she determined her loyalty because God was doing something unique. We don't know why yet. The story goes on and kind of has you on the edge of your seat. Why did she do this? How did she know about them? Did she have any faith? Where did it come from if she's in this city that God is going to destroy? It reminds me a lot of the story of the hiding place. And as I shared, I'm sorry if I spoil the story. It's 80 years old from World War II. So if you haven't heard it yet, it's a good one too. But of the Ten Boom family in the Netherlands, imagine you're in their shoes, living in the Netherlands, and your family is well established in the community. Your father is a well-renowned watchmaker with great relationships, and everyone loves his kindness, his faith, his loyalty in the community. And you've heard about wars and rumors of wars, and you are just wondering if your community will be safe from a future invasion. Trying to consider what the backup plans will be, where your loyalties would lie, and what will you do if someone comes knocking on your door from the enemy who is now ruling your community. They decided, their faith spurred them on to protect other people, just like the spirit of Rahab. So they decided to open their home up to be called the hiding place for hundreds of Jews throughout Europe to stay, to refuge, to hide and be protected from attack, arrest, betrayal. She gives up her room more willingly than any grandchild giving up their room for the grandparents' visit to be remade, remodeled, and become a hiding place where if a Nazi comes knocking on their door, in a minute they could go and hide behind this place and be hid in secret. It was her rooftop, like Rahab. They determined their loyalty to the right king, the king of the universe, the God whom they served as a Christian household. And they had to let known to others why, even when people thought that was the wrong choice. There's a quote in the book called The Hiding Place that is shared about her dad's reaction. When people said, and even godly people said, "What are you doing? You are making the wrong decision by housing these Jews because you too will be killed or sent away for hiding them." And the father responds with such grace and truth. "Well, if that were the case, I would count that the greatest honor to ever come upon my family." They made their decision where their loyalty was because of how their faith led them to do so, just like Rahab. Loyalty goes a long way, doesn't it? We live in a society that tells us to tell people, "If you respect me, I will respect you. If you're faithful to me, I will be faithful back to you. If you show loyalty as a partner, I will be loyal as a partner." But that's not the entire way of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God goes a step further. The kingdom of God says Jesus Christ is faithful to you and me when we have been faithless. That Jesus Christ has never denied us when we have denied him with another plan or another pleasure outside of his will. That Jesus Christ is faithful to us when we are faithless people. That's the kingdom of God. How do we have that loyalty that says, "I will be loyal to you regardless"? And it might come from the most unlikely person in the story, like Rahab. So her story goes on, and we wonder, where is her faith coming from? And how is it influencing others? And I want to encourage you. This is a statement that one of our amazing high school students, Miracle Wallace, shared last time I was on stage a month ago, and our high schoolers shared in the sermon with me. Miracle said, "Remember, your faith is not just for you." Amen? Your faith is not just for you. It should impact those around you, those nearest to you, those you spend your most time with, and your entire family. It will change everything. And it did for Rahab. So let's see, where did her faith come from, and how did it influence not just her salvation, but others? It goes on to say in Joshua 2, verse 8, "Before the men lay down, she came up to them on the roof." Whew, she remembers them. It's a good start to the story. And she said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the fear of you has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you. For we have heard, this is important, this is where faith came from. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you devoted to destruction. And as soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, here's her faith, is God in the heavens above and the earth beneath. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that as I have dealt kindly with you, there's loyalty, you also will deal kindly with my father's house, and give me a sure sign that you will save alive my father and my mother, my brother and my sisters, and all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death. And the men said to her, our life for yours, even to death. Hooray, the commitment's made. If you do not tell this business of ours, then when the Lord gives us the land, we will deal kindly and faithfully with you. Her faith said, I'm not just asking to be saved from the coming destruction I've heard about. I'm asking that you save everyone I love and care about in my household. A saving faith brings others along with you. A saving faith shares your salvation story with others around you. And faith means that you will trust God to bring you out of whatever that is, fill in the blank, because Rahab did. The Word of God tells us God will give you always a way out from temptation, that God will save his people from destruction. It says God will even speed up the end days that are going to be so trying because he wants us to be able to endure it. God will always provide a way out when we put our faith in him to do it first. Faith is simply courageous trust. And so often we excuse ourselves from walking in faith or committing to a faith community or saying yes to being a person of faith and saying yes to being baptized and making that commitment because we have doubts. But the good news is faith is not the absence of doubt. Faith is against unbelief. Faith is not against doubt. Faith simply says, bring your doubt to the table of Jesus and bring it to him and to his people. Just like Thomas was willing to say all of his doubts before Jesus. Faith says, bring your doubts. Don't let them stop you from coming here. Faith simply says, do not be like one with unbelief. That's what faith does. So, what happened in the continued story of the hiding place, World War II, the Ten Boom household? How did their faith play a role? Well, there was a moment in her life where she, sorry for spoiling the story, and her family are betrayed for doing the good work and housing many. They're betrayed and they're sentenced to a camp in the Netherlands and then brought to Germany. And as she's being inspected by the medical staff of this camp, she knows she has one chance to ask them a question. In the meantime, she always had planned a go bag if she was taken into camp, but she didn't have time to get it. She was sick, and she forgot. And in that go bag was her most prized possession. You know what it was? Her Bible. So she takes a risk for her life and asks this nurse, knowing that in this camp, if you ask for something like that and they report you, you're going to be sentenced to either intense labor, beating, isolation, or death. But she has faith and she says, I must ask because that is the only thing that is going to help me and the women with me survive this. So she asks the nurse for a Bible, not knowing what's to come. Later on, the nurse returns. She's wondering if a soldier is going to come with her, meaning she's been betrayed and reported. She comes back and she doesn't have a Bible. You wonder what happens. But she brings out a little book, 4 Gospels, saying, I couldn't get you all of it, but I could get you this. I hope this helps. She stuffs it in her clothes, and her sister preserve that for the rest of their time in camp. They share it, and they even rip out pages to share with the other women staying in their flea-infested barn to endure. That's all they had. And it was enough. Faith says, don't just wait to know enough to start a community group or to jump into a community group. Faith says, don't try to be enough to show up to the place of God and his people. Faith says, use what I've given you and trust me that I can say that is more than enough. Faith led Rahab. This is the crazy part. Rahab, she was not a part of the people of God, was she? Rahab, do you think she ever experienced a worship service? Nope. Do you think she ever heard a single word of God's law? Not that we know of. Do you think she saw them walk through the Red Sea? Nope. Did she receive manna that the people of God received? Nope. Did she receive water miraculously from the rock that the people of God received? No. Did she see the glory of God shine off Moses' face? No. Did she see, it's like seashells on the seashore, my goodness. The glory of God come down on Mount Sinai, displaying his power and his might. Nope. So how does she get faith in God? Remember what we read? She heard. Faith is not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. Rahab showed that perfectly. All she did was she heard a few stories, and her life and her family was changed forever. And it even changed the family of God forever. Spoiler alert, Jesus' lineage came from Rahab, an ex-prostitute from the evil people. God said, I want her to be one of the ancestors of the Savior of the world. The most unlikely person in the room. That's what God does when he saves. He always goes above and beyond. So it continues. The Rahab who had faith just from a word and stories of God, it changed her actions and it gave her a wisdom of how to make hard decisions. This is life or death, and she has to make hard decisions. So she says this. It says, she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was built into the city wall so that she lived in the wall. And she said to them, go into the hills and the pursuers will encounter you. Hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Then afterward, you may go your way. The men said to her, we will be guiltless with respect to this oath of yours that you have made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, you shall tie this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and you shall gather into your house your father and mother, your brothers, and all your father's household. Wisdom helped Rahab make the right decisions in the hardest moments. Where do you get your wisdom from? How do you decide whether to take the job or not? How did you decide to move or not? How did you decide a church or not? How did you decide the school or not? And how are you leaning on God for more of his wisdom and less of yours? Because in our flesh, we will just naturally go to what we know, what we think is right, good, beneficial, or what we've experienced. But as people of God, we lean on him and him first. Where do we start? Wisdom is simply found in God's Spirit, in God's Word, in God's people. If you don't know where to start, start there. Sounds a lot like community groups, doesn't it? Sorry, plug. But isn't that true? So many of you that have amazing experiences with God through trials and tribulations, what young people are you sharing that with? Young people, what older people are you looking for wisdom with? Not just to be a therapy session for you, but to gain godly wisdom. How are we opening the Word? Oh my goodness. Church, if I could tell you how many times I open the Bible and I am shocked and ashamed of how far off my own way of thinking is from God's Word. I need it every day. Not because I want to know more, but because I need God to renew my mind every single day. Because if I do not absorb his way of thinking, where do we go? Right back to our own. We go, oh, the men are up on the roof. I want to survive. I'll get out the way. We go, I want to preserve myself. Whoops, I forgot those around me. We go back to what we think is right. And what we think is right leads us to being separated from God most of the time. But God has a better way. And the good news is, it's simple. You need wisdom? Ask. Ask somebody who loves Jesus. Ask God in prayer. Ask as you look to God's words. Ask. And as you open it, let him change your thinking, like every day he has to change mine with his good, good word. So Rahab lets them down, and you're just wondering, what's next? Is she going to be saved? Is she going to be reported? Is it like Mulan, and they're going to discover, uh-oh, she's not who she says she is? It goes on to tell us, but the two men who had spied out the land, Joshua said, go into the prostitute's house and bring out from there the woman and all who belong to her, as you swore to her. So the young men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and mother and brothers and all who belonged to her. And they brought all her relatives and put them outside the camp of Israel. That is their adoption story. Joshua signs the court papers and says, here's her new citizenship card. Here is her new last name. She is being brought in, adopted, and no longer think about her old ways, her past, what she used to do, who she used to be called. Now she is made new, and she is one of us. Who do you know that needs some of that redemption? That needs just a seat at the table to know that they can be one with you, that they can be one sitting beside you on a Sunday, that they can be one spending time with you at Carowinds instead of spending time alone? Who is the one? Because your faith can do a lot more than you think. And Rahab's story reminds us that faith alone saves, but good works follow. Martin Luther said, God does not need your good works, but your neighbor does. Rahab realized that. Her faith was in the God she heard about, but she needed to save the life of the spies because of her new faith, because of her chosen loyalty, using the wisdom that God gave her to do so. I think about wisdom again in the story of the hiding place. They would come across people that they needed help. They needed help from the mailmen, from the governing workers that gave out food stamps, from the local police officers to determine who would help their case and help their good deeds and who was working with the enemy. And every time they asked for help, they were risking their life, knowing that they might be tipped off by the enemy. They might be giving this report to the enemy. That call might be tapped and given to the enemy. So you know what she did when she needed God's wisdom to live out her faith in the hardest moment, to hide who and what was good? She had this simple prayer she wrote in her book that I encourage all of us to live out. It was simply this: Lord, if it is not safe to confide in this person now, stop this conversation before it is too late. That is the mind of a recon Marine. That is the mind of a spy. That is the mind of the daughter of a watchmaker who had more wisdom than most of us could ever know. That is the mind that relies on God for wisdom in the hardest conversations where betrayal and life and death can follow. So where are you going to seek his wisdom now in this week? The New Testament commends Rahab for this one attribute. You know what it is? It says on the screen. By what? Faith. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. What has your faith done for you, and do others know it? What has God saved you from, and do others know it, even if it's a little more PG-13 than PureFlix will allow? Do your kids, parents, know what God has saved you from? Young people, do your peers know what God has saved you from? Even if there's a little bit embarrassment to the story, Rahab's was put right out there on blast. Here's what she did. She was in the red light district, but now she's not. Are we willing to have the faith to share, even when it's embarrassing, where we fell short in the darkness God brought us from? Are we willing to share? So Rahab ultimately reminds us that faith, loyalty, and wisdom are an outflow of your faith in Christ. Rahab reminds us that God and God alone, the God the Father of Jesus Christ, by His Spirit, is the Savior only. Rahab reminds us to choose your loyalties wisely, for loyalty goes a long way, good or bad. Rahab reminds us, like a miracle said, your faith is not just for you. Who are you bringing with you? And I want to share this last piece. One of our students, freshman in high school, she was up on stage a month ago with the other teens sharing in the sermon. Valentina Zayas shared this powerful statement in the last sermon that plays very well in Rahab's story and how we often feel about ourselves, disqualifying ourselves like Rahab might have done. Don't take me, I'm too impure. Don't use me in the lineage of Christ, I'm not holy enough. Don't use me to tell people how to follow God, I don't know enough. But Valentina said something special last sermon. God calls everyone, both young and old. A lot of people think they need more experience to spread the word of God, but really you need just the seed of God in your heart. That's a lot of wisdom in that. So where can we stop disqualifying ourselves and just say, God, take me. Take me to the new place you want me to go. Whatever the cost, whatever I need to let go of, and whatever a new community looks like. Maybe that's stepping into a new community, a new group, a new church, a new place, a new school, a new workplace. Maybe that's stepping away from something you know God doesn't want you to continue. Maybe that's trusting God with the ability to walk in freedom from something you thought was going to curse you the rest of your life. God loves you. There's no darkness beyond forgiveness, Rahab reminds us. There is no person too far, Rahab reminds us. And there is no more thinking that we have to disqualify ourselves from being used by God, Rahab reminds us. So to close with the scripture of Colossians 1, 13 to 14. Rahab got to experience this firsthand. So does every child who comes to God with a genuine heart of faith, willing to simply do two things, repent and believe. Walk away and walk into something new, like Rahab. This is true for all of us who are in Christ, and this can be true for you if you just need to take a step of faith and let go of the doubts from being the barrier between you and God. It says in Colossians 1, 13 and 14, He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. There is a transfer that happens when you come to Christ. There is an adoption that happens when you say yes to baptism. There is a receiving, like a family reunion, when you say yes to that group. And there is more that happens spiritually than you could ever realize. There is a transfer from the domain of darkness to the kingdom of the beloved Son. Who doesn't want that? Have you taken that step? And if you have, who else can you bring along with you that has not taken that step? God knows your heart aches for that person, that family member, that friend, that coworker. Do not stop praying. Like Valentina said, don't disqualify yourself. Remember, all you need is the seed of God in your heart. Rahab only heard a few words about God, and God changed her life and the whole community of God. God will certainly use you to change the next person if you're willing. That is the challenge. What will we say? When he's given us the faith, he's given us the wisdom, and he has given us perfect loyalty when we have not given it back. He is good, and he loves you more than you could ever realize. Let's pray. Father, first, forgive us when we have been faithless or disloyal people. Thank you for adopting us when we did not deserve it or earn it. And thank you for the words we do hear from your good, truthful scripture, that it is enough to take us to the next place because it was enough for Rahab. Remind us not to disqualify the Rahabs around us and not to disqualify ourselves. Remind us that you are a God who chooses, redeems, and turns around all of our darkness and turns it into something beautiful in the kingdom of your beloved Son, Jesus. I pray for every heart here, Father God. Lead them in your wisdom this week. Lead them to be pointing to you, the rescuer, like the spies. Lead them, God, to have faith like Rahab this week. We love you. We need you. And we trust you with courageous trust this week. In Jesus' name, and all God's children said, amen.